Good morning, everybody. Buongiorno. Bon dia. Good morning. Let's gather back. Usually, in New Year's Eve, when we begin to watch TV, you usually see how in Australia, the New Year celebrations have begun. And as the hours go by, you just kind of see it making its way throughout the world, around the planet. Everyone's celebrating the New Year coming in. Today is very similar. It's just that we don't have fireworks. But around the world, all over the world, Christians are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The most important event in all of history. So first of all, I want to say to everybody, Happy Easter. Today I would like to bring us into a deeper understanding of what the resurrection means for us. The resurrection is not just a historical event. It is a very present power and a very future promise for our lives. It is not just something that happened to Jesus, but it is something that, because Jesus conquered this, is transferred to us. And today I would like to talk about three ways that the resurrection touches our lives. Number one, it brings new life to our circumstances. Number two, it brings new life to our inner being. And number three, it gives us an eternal hope beyond the grave. You see, the cross, when Jesus was crucified, although it was predicted by Isaiah 700 years previously, although it was predicted by King David in Psalm 22, Isaiah in Isaiah 53, and although it was even given the date that it would happen, Daniel wrote that 483 years after the building of the command to rebuild Jerusalem, that the Messiah, the Prince, would come and that he would be cut off. In spite of all this being foretold, when it actually happened, it was a blow to everyone that was expecting the Messiah. You see, when Jesus came, the disciples were so excited. They were filled with hope that the Messiah had arrived. They gave 3.5 years of their life to follow him. They gave up family life. They gave up everything. They gave up their companies. They gave up everything just to follow Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, what they really thought was, what in the world have we been doing the last 3.5 years of our life? All seemed over. All seemed to die. But God. And the but God of the New Testament, the but God of the Bible, is something that we want to implement deeply into our life. We would never want to lose sight, no matter where we are in life, of the but God. So let's look at the resurrection of circumstances. Some of us today are in situations that feel hopeless. You might be looking at your finances. You might be looking at your family. You might be looking at your health. You might even be looking at your mistakes and thinking, I don't see a way out. That's what happened with the disciples. Overwhelmed, Think of Mary's pain as her son is crucified. Think about these guys that left everything to follow him. Their whole investment is down the drain. And you might be thinking, very similarly, I don't see a way out of my circumstances. My goodness, I've been in that circumstance so many times in my life. Whether it was addiction, whether it was being single, thinking I would never be married, being married, thinking I could never be single again. Whether it was finances. Yes, I mean, whether it was marriage difficulties where you just feel like it just seems like it's done. Whether it was COVID in the church. Whether it's our inability, the fact that for 15 years we were not able to have kids. And after our treatment, our last treatment of IVF, I was so excited that, well, actually, no, it was the second one, that I was so excited that Loretta got pregnant through the treatment, only to experience the worst week of my life as she began to have a miscarriage at 40 years of age, and thinking, this is the last chance we have. It's amazing how God has this amazing ability to bring us to that last minute moment, to that death moment, only for us to experience resurrection in our circumstances. Think of Paul. When he had just shared the gospel to Jerusalem. It was the dream of his life to share the gospel with his people. He actually said, I wish I could be cast away so that they could be saved. And he gets this amazing opportunity until he says what I'm sure he thought was the wrong word, which is Gentile, which is most of you and me. And then the people could not wait to try to kill him. They were ripping their clothes. They made a vow not to eat or drink until they killed him. And then Jesus appeared to him in the middle of the night and said to him, be encouraged, Paul. You have testified for me in Jerusalem. You will testify in Rome. And then he ended up in prison for 2 years. And then finally, when the promise gets revived and he's on a ship to go to Rome, just like Jesus said. Next thing you know, they get in such a storm, in such a upheaval of a storm, one of these that we experienced that killed 200, 300 people in Valencia, one of those storms. Luke writes in Acts 27:20, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. And then Jesus appears to Paul again and says, don't worry, you're not going to lose a single life on this boat. And then I love it. They go to they actually end up in Malta, and then they grab a boat and they go to Rome, and there he goes into Rome, only to be in prison, but to share the gospel with the whole center of the known world at the time. Resurrected circumstances. I have Joseph who had a dream that he was going to reign over his family, that God had blessed them, only to be sold. Only to be imprisoned. Only to be lied about. But eventually to come and to be the number two in Egypt and to actually serve his family as the dream had told them, as God had told them. Abraham with his son And my favorite one that I was looking at was Moses. When they left Egypt, God makes them a promise, leave Egypt. And they get to the Red Sea. And next thing you know, all they have is the sea in front of them. And behind them, all they have is all of the Egyptian army ready to pounce on them and kill them. And there's no way forward, and there's no way back. It says, and God tells Moses, said, say to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then the Lord said to Moses, I love this. He says, tell the children of Israel to go forth. The Lord said, yeah. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? I mean, think about this. God says to Moses, why are you praying? It's not time to pray. It's time to move. Stretch out your stick. And in the last minute, the sea parted, and they went right through. Never lose sight that the resurrection, that principle of resurrection, works also in our circumstances. I talked about it a couple Sundays ago about this painting, the Checkmate, in the Louvre, Museum. There was a picture of the devil playing chess with this one man and an angel looking. And as the people were touring the museum, there was a chess player that was among the tour group, and the team went ahead, and the chess player just stayed. And then finally the guide, after a few, 20 minutes or so, comes back and says, hey, we're moved on. Come on, guy. And he said, listen, I'm a chess player. You guys are saying this is checkmate, but the king still has one more move. Never lose the perspective in your life that all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Number two, while God can change our outward circumstances, the greatest miracle is not what he can do around us, but actually what he can do in us. You see, it is one thing to have circumstances change, but it's a whole different level when we find ourselves being changed. Phyllis Brooks, a preacher, he said, you know, do not pray to have easy lives. Pray to be made stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your tasks. And then the doing of your work will not be a miracle, but you shall be a miracle. You see, in our hearts, when we are honest with ourselves, in some ways, of course, we are created in the image of God, and there's certain things that are amazing. We have an ability to love. We have a certain ability for joy, for mercy, for help. But if we're honest with ourselves, we also see in our hearts a plague. When we are honest with ourselves, we see the selfishness. We see the attitudes. We see our pride. Sometimes we're tied by our addictions. We see our guilt. We see the covetousness. Sometimes we just see our hardness of heart. Sometimes we see, this is a mentality that I hear about lately. You know, I just saw it in a reel, and it was just like, you know what? I've just pushed negative people away. Eventually, you push everybody away. I mean, the beauty of the gospel is not that we push people away. The beauty of the gospel that he changes us to love. You see, the Bible says that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. And it's not a metaphor. It's a real fact. And no amount of self-help, no amount of religion, no amount of good behavior can raise a dead heart. That's why the law, though holy, you know, when I say the law, I say the Ten Commandments, it says, you shall have no other God, you shall not covet, you shall not commit adultery. Although the law is holy, it is powerless to change us. It only reveals the problem. And we all know Paul's words from the letter to the Romans. He says, Paul himself says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I hate to do, I end up doing. Have you ever been there? That's the cry of a trapped man, a trapped person. But the good news, but God. The resurrection of Jesus introduces a new power and into the human heart. You know, it's kind of like if you went to a 747, you're about to fly somewhere, and you try to get behind it and push it, or you try to get a few people to lift it. It is impossible. But you get the power of combustion, you get the power of thrust and lift. And all of a sudden, you've been on one of those, right? You get on a 747, and that thing is going, you go faster and faster. And then my worst part, the one I hate the most, is when that 747 lifts, and then it dips. And you're like, this is supposed to go up, not be struggling to go up. But that is the power of the resurrected Jesus in us. He lifts us to a new life. He takes our selfishness and begins to put generosity. Listen, not of money, of you. A friend of mine said the best thing you can give someone, the most generous people, the best thing they can give is attention. My wife tells me all the time, listen to me with your face. From the addictions, he can lift us into freedom. The pride. Not that we think less of ourselves, but we begin to see him. And we just begin to ask the question. And I heard in August 2026, one of the best places in the world, if not the best place in the world, to watch a solar eclipse, the first time since 1901 in Spain, it's going to be in Mallorca. Well, I don't even know why I just told you that. Let's move on. That was a halftime publicity, you know, Mallorca. You know? But you see the human heart just impossible, and the Lord comes and raises us into a newness of life. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. In no way, shape, or form, I'm trying to say that I'm arrived. I feel myself. Oh, and that's what I was going to say with Mallorca and the eclipse. David said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands. You know, you think of an eclipse. You think of when you begin to see the solar system, when you get to see the galaxies. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, what is man? It's not, humility is not that false humility that thinks less of you. It's that one which actually sees God and his greatness. And you think to yourself, oh my goodness, we're so little. We're so little. But in my own life, it was hard. I don't know a more self-centered person than I was. I don't know a more selfish person. I could tell you some stories that I'm just completely ashamed to even talk about. You guys think I'm open, but there's some things I'm just too ashamed. One, because it exposes other people, but it's just like just the utter selfishness. Like, and you feel like you're just a 747. But the resurrection of Jesus comes to raise us into a new life, and all of a sudden you have new desires, new passions. The same power that raised Jesus is now available to change you and me from the inside out. But number three, there's the eternal hope. The resurrection doesn't just change our now, it secures our forever. Death doesn't have the final word. We sang, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. Death doesn't have the final word anymore. The whole world before Jesus came was under the slavery of death. There was no evidence of anyone rising from the dead, never to die again. There was evidence of resurrections and then dying, but never resurrection, never to die again. Because Jesus rose, we will rise too. Not just spiritually, but physically. God redeems the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And I know some skeptics are thinking, my goodness, but what happened to the person that was lost at sea and decomposed in the sea, or the person that was blown up at war, or the person that was burned? How are they going to be regathered? My goodness, he holds the whole universe together. Do you think that he has a problem in regathering us as seed to resurrect us? Paul says it like this: we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. This is our hope. This is our living hope. We don't need to fear death. We grieve, but not without hope. Our eternity is secure because of the empty tomb. And I think if we really are honest with ourselves, we know that things don't just end at the grave. we know that we live in this body, but we are not this body. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? What does it profit? And Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who lived for today, who lived for reputation, who lived for whatever, nothing wrong for making the most of this world in a sense, but we are to live in the light of the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Well, not all of them, actually. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. What hope? I was in Italy a couple years ago with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and a couple friends of theirs. And, you know, they were in their 70s. To be honest, it was not a very optimistic place to be. It was just talking about ailments and pretty much just holding on until death came and it was over. And I actually said to them, I said, it's so sad to be in an environment with people at the end of their life and there's no hope. And I read this scripture to her. Behold, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And my mother-in-law goes, amen. We need the hope that Jesus brings through the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says, then we who are alive and remain, we shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And I just think of Jesus rising. In Luke 24, he comes alongside the disciples and he says, hey, why are you so discouraged? And he said, we had hoped. And then Jesus actually takes his disciples and makes breakfast for them and eats with them. Then he tells them, hey, then he gets taken away after he spent 40 days on earth appearing and disappearing. And then he's taken away and the angels say in the same way that you saw him leave, he will come back. And I think to myself, the most beautiful, powerful, balanced person that ever walked on the face of the earth. Kind, sacrificial, love, but not mushy, also righteous indignation, turning the tables of injustice. To think that the Bible would say that we have the opportunity to spend all of eternity with the most amazing person that ever lived. What a hope. What a hope we share in the resurrection of Jesus. And I would like to ask you something. Are you facing a circumstance today that feels dead? Are you carrying something inside, a habit, maybe a pain, a wound, maybe a guilt? Maybe even just a hardness of heart. Maybe just pure, plain, and simple selfishness that feels like it's controlling you. Maybe you're here today and you are unsure what would happen if you died today. I mean, I was really moved the other day. I was just 2 weeks in New York in January. I was with my family. We were with our friends. We went into the city. We didn't go on a helicopter ride because, one, I couldn't afford how much it cost, but two, because I don't really want to. But this family from Spain, the leader of Siemens in Spain, with his wife, who's the granddaughter and great-granddaughter of two presidents of FC Barcelona, which might not mean a lot to you, but it means a lot to me, with their three kids, got into a helicopter to sightsee in New York, and the plane, the helicopter, the propeller hit the tail, and it just flung out of control into the Hudson River. What, maybe you are afraid, what hope do we have that death cannot kill? Maybe you are unsure what would happen to you if you died today. Eternity feels uncertain. The resurrection of Jesus speaks into all that. The living Jesus speaks into all that. He's able at the last minute to change things around. He's able to change you around. And he's able to give you, listen to this, guys, an indestructible hope in your heart. A hope that nothing and no one can take away from you, not even death. And I believe that God wants to resurrect something in you this morning. And so I want to go, and you know what? We don't pray. We don't pray hoping that someone hears. We don't pray just words into the air. The Bible says that at the cross, the veil was torn. And the veil symbolizes the veil of the temple where only the priest was able to go in. And when that veil was taken by his sacrifice, taken away, it means that you and I, no matter what we've done, no matter where we come from, no matter how worthy or unworthy we feel, we can actually go into that throne of grace. To a God that listens. To a God that cares, because it would be terrible if he listened and he didn't care. And it would be terrible if he listened and he cared, but there's nothing he could do. But a God that is the Almighty. And we're able to go to him. And I want you to pray with me this morning. Not just me praying, but you calling out to the living God. And bring your circumstance. Bring yourself just as you are. And bring your fears. And let them be replaced but God, by life and by a living hope. Let's pray. Father, we want to ask you, Lord. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the hearts of anybody here, Lord, but you do. You know the burdens, whether it's someone sick of themselves or sick of everybody else. Whether it's just circumstances that are just above measure and beyond strength. where there is just paralyzing fear. And I pray, Father, that you would meet people right where they're at, Lord. You formed them fearfully and wonderfully in the womb, Lord. You've known every single one, everything that they've gone through, everything that they are. Nobody hides from you, Lord, and you love them the same. Maybe there's even people here today that are just not willing to believe and are just like, unless you do this, I will not believe. Lord, humble. I pray that you would humble yourself even. There's no one as humble as you, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayer, that you will hear their prayers this morning. And that their prayers will be answered in the hope of your resurrection, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, to have you. We are the most blessed people in all of creation. Even the angels, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we none of us would leave here with a caricature of who you are. I pray that we will leave this place knowing that you are the God of all creation, who came in humility to earth, that we did the unspeakable to you, and that you rose with power. In spite of what we did to you, that you rose in power to bless us, and that you've made yourself accessible. And although we might not be able to change our hearts, we are able to change our minds and says, Lord Jesus, you are so kind. You are so humble. You are so generous. You are so loving. You are so merciful. You are so powerful, so righteous. Let me partake of your resurrection in one of these areas, in all of these areas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.